It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, the 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Facebook's profit report numbers this week reflect big growth for the company. We often talk about the company's 1 billion users. Now, that number is nearly 1.6 billion. Facebook had $5.8 billion in revenue, up from $4.5 billion the previous quarter. But I haven't given you the most important number yet. I'll let Mark Mahaney at RBC Capital do that.
The key number here is that advertising revenue, which is 95% of Facebook, grew 66% year over year. That's the fastest growth rate that Facebook has printed since the March quarter of 2014.
Mahaney says it's rare that you see this kind of growth in ad sales when the business gets bigger. Facebook's making money off its other assets like Instagram, too. What does all of this mean?
Facebook has clearly gone from being an experimental ad buy to a must ad buy.
RBC Capital Markets analyst Mark Mahaney. Tonight is the last GOP debate before the Iowa caucus. Many of us now watch those debates while holding a second screen, tweeting out our thoughts or searching online to get more detail about something a candidate said. The search engines have noticed that we're looking and want to provide more relevant data. Microsoft's Bing has introduced the Bing Political Index, which shows where candidates stand on issues. And Google is partnering with Fox, which is broadcasting this debate to help Americans find more information. Simon Rogers is data editor with the Google News Lab. He joins me on the line from Des Moines, Iowa. Simon, how does this stuff work?
So this event will actually see our data integrated into the debate itself for the first time on air. We'll see live trends pulled throughout the debate, affecting the way that people kind of get results too. So, for instance, you'll know as soon as the debate happens, which candidates are leading in search in Iowa or New Hampshire, and how different things that people say kind of affect those rankings and those scores.
What sort of data is Google accessing to surface this information for users?
What we do is we get all this data and we kind of normalize it, anonymize it, so that it's not something that tells us what individuals are looking at, but it tells us what we're collectively interested in. And there's something about the honesty of search, which is really powerful, because we're not making a public pronouncement in the way we would on social media. We're looking at stuff that we care about and we're interested in.
Couldn't you argue that all of these extra screens and these extra searches people are doing are potentially distracting from actually listening closely to the candidates?
Well, I think the idea of second screens and TV shows is very much kind of part of the way we consume news and information nowadays. And this is, has led to another thing which is going to be introduced for this debate, which is this new highlights feature, where you'll see when you search for a candidate, for instance, say you search for Ted Cruz or so on, Ted Cruz's campaign will actually be able to respond in search to events and things that are going on, which kind of changes the relationship with the information that we normally produce.
Simon Rogers is data editor with the Google News Lab. He speaks to us from the Convention Center in Des Moines, Iowa. Simon, enjoy the debate.
Thanks a lot.
If startup funding in America seems a little volatile to you, you should get yourself a taste of what is happening in China these days. From Beijing's tech investment policies to the things being rapidly prototyped in Shenzhen, the country's fast-growing tech sector is supposed to be part of its future. How's that going to work out, though, with slowing growth? A report from CB Insights suggests funding for Chinese startups fell almost 30% in the last quarter of 2015. Rob Schmitz is Marketplace's China correspondent. He joins me from Hong Kong. Rob, what's with this massive drop in funding?
Right. You know, for the past few years, the big Chinese internet companies, like Baidu, Tencent, Alibaba, they were buying up so many smaller tech startups that for venture capitalists, investing in these startups was a bit of a no-brainer. But by the end of last year, this had already started to change. And they've both instituted hiring freezes, and they're also becoming a lot more cautious about acquiring startups.
Can you talk a little bit about how the recent market turmoil might impact fundraising in China going forward this year?
What I'm hearing is that 2016 is already shaping up to be a pretty tough year for tech startups in China. You know, one person I spoke to compared it to Game of Thrones. He told me kind of very ominously, winter is coming. You know, in many ways, winter has sort of already arrived. And of course, a lot of this, like I mentioned, boils down to an increasing lack of confidence in the health of China's overall economy.
Rob, how do you think all of this is going to affect China's efforts at an economic transition from exports and industry to consumption and services?
Well, you know, tech innovation and investment is a very, very big part of Xi Jinping's current economic reform package. So this sector is really important to China's government. It's so important that the city of Shanghai has announced that starting next month, it will begin to compensate venture capitalists if they've lost money on high-tech startups since the beginning of last year. And this type of treatment, the idea that VCs can get their money back from a government, is unprecedented. You know, a private equity investor in Shanghai told a local paper yesterday that this plan to compensate VCs with public money is just incredibly irresponsible, that it sends the wrong message and that it goes against the fundamental principles of a market economy. But I think it shows how desperate China is to support this high-tech sector, because it hopes that it will be a future cornerstone of its economy.
Rob Schmitz, he's Marketplace's China correspondent, talking to us from Hong Kong. Rob, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, Ben.
Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz there. Alibaba gives us an update on profits today, by the way. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.